Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn, alongside Glenn West. Glenn, we are officially a week away from Christmas. How you feeling?
For Christmas, I'm ready for the holidays. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get through the next couple days here with the signing class and portal craziness that's been going on. Maybe learn about the future of the coaching staff. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see. And I think this is kind of the timeline here where I think you'd expect something to be decided, some decisions to be made in that front, but definitely ready for the holidays, ready to kick back with some family, as I'm sure a lot of people are. So,
I'll be making that 6.5 hour drive back to Georgia on Friday. So I've
awesome.
I'm excited to see a little bit of family, get some, look, I will say this, Glenn, for the first time, I wasn't feeling great, but on Thursday evening, I was able to, for the first time since being in Louisiana, have authentic traditional gumbo. And went over to a little friend, Hillary's friends, my wife's friends, Christmas party. And it was great. Way better than what we got served up in Oxford when Ole Miss hosted the media up there. So way different than that. But hey, man, it's that time of the year. Week two of the transfer portal has officially come and gone. We enter week three right here before the Christmas holidays. Like you mentioned, early signing day on Wednesday. Before we jump in, make sure you head over to Go24/7. All the latest news surrounding all 26, 27 LSU commits that are going to stay intact with this class. Transfer portal news. Maybe you just watched the podcast or listened to it and you're like, hey, I want to read some content. You can hit us down the link below and you see a great holiday deal, 50% off. But Glenn, some of the biggest news happening over the weekend was that LSU finally made some additions to the portal. We had seen names, enter. We had seen names go elsewhere, i.e. Quincy Wiggins to Colorado. But I think fans were a little bit restless to see some of those additions. And so we started off with, I think, everyone's favorite team to poach from, the Texas A&M Aggies. LSU looks to College Station, and they bring back a U-High standout, a Baton Rouge native in Jarden Gilbert, veteran safety. Glenn, I like this pickup, especially what you can lose on the back end and what we expect to lose. It brings veteran experience, which there's going to be a ton of opportunities for young guys to get work in. This is a guy in Gilbert who's an established veteran, understands the landscape of the SEC, and knows how to play football.
Yeah, I really like this pickup. I mean, you're talking about a guy now that has a couple of years of playing experience. He went down early in the 2023 season, so he's battling back. I believe it's from a shoulder injury that he suffered that cost him really most of this last year. But in 2022, I mean, you can make an argument. He was one of the up-and-coming defensive backs in the SEC. I mean, he had a really strong season in 2022. Believe it was over 60 tackles, a couple interceptions, really long, about 6'1", 6'2", safety that, I think has a good natural instincts for ball and for the ball. And is somebody that I think you can be a little bit versatile with. I think you can play him up closer to the line of scrimmage. I think he can kind of fill maybe a Major Burns kind of role. If Burns is off to the NFL, he hasn't made a a decision yet specifically, but you know, somebody like that who can come in and has some experience and can lead that back half of the defense, or at least help lead the back half of the defense. There's certainly still some more work to be done in the secondary, but I like the pickup. You've been all over the Jordan Gilbert news. You've been all over obviously what's been going on with some of the offensive line movement here over the last week, but certainly to start in the secondary was a good good kickoff to what you hope to be a pretty stout transfer portal class. I mean, we talked about it. LSU wants to bring in 7, 8, 9 guys. I don't think they want to get into that 14, 15 range again. And so you've got to make sure that you hit on all the ones that you bring in. And so I think Gilbert's a guy that's a safe play. He'll come in, he'll compete, and I think he'll probably earn a lot of playing time next year next to some of these younger guys. And, you know, we'll see if there's another safety that's added. I think you'll probably look to add 2 corners to go along with Gilbert at safety. Not sure if you add a second safety out of the portal, because I do think that that room, and at least in terms of numbers, still has a lot of guys back there, a lot of guys that you got some playing time towards the end of this season. And we'll be interested to see kind of if that kind of holds true.
You know, we talked about, obviously, on – it's kind of crazy how this stuff goes. On December the 15th, Sage Ryan enters the portal. That was kind of even more of a notice of, look, we know Ryan played corner towards the end of the season, more traditionally came in as a safety and can play that nickel spot. With him leaving, you desperately needed experience. Glenn, you were around for that 2022 season where LSU brought in a lot of veteran talent. This year, they didn't bring in veteran talent. How much do you think this helps in terms of just being able to understand – college football, understand what it's needed to play in the SEC? Look, it might not be, I would say, top end, high end, essentially the highest rated guy coming in, but I think it does raise the floor, I will say, of what we saw this past weekend, more comparable to 2022 rather than this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's experience. It's a guy that has played a couple of years, but has also got a couple of years left. I mean, I think you're trying to find that balance is, you know, somebody that can come in and help you for next year, but potentially even the year after that. I mean, they want continuity in this defensive line and in this defensive, on this defensive roster, which is why you saw so much of the emphasis being on player retention with the current guys. So, you know, look, it's no secret they missed on a lot of the secondary guys they went after last year. I mean, we'll get to cornerback in a minute, but, that, I don't want to say is set them back at all, but like they definitely need to bring in some more talent there to kind of offset maybe what you didn't get from them last year. And what you saw last year was them attacking and bringing in guys that had multiple years of eligibility, but didn't necessarily have the experience. I think this year you're seeing the experience, at least through the guys that they've been linked to. You know, we'll get into a couple other guys here in a minute that they've been linked to that would make a lot of sense to bring in, but guys that also have some playing time and some eligibility left to really kind of build a foundation and a core with this defense that you saw worked really, really well for the offense last year. I mean, the fact that they got their entire O-line back, the quarterback, all these receivers, the running backs, you know, that really helped them kind of evolve the offense in year two. And now you enter, you know, a third offseason here. You'd like to see a lot of that translate over to defense. The internal development's going to be a huge part of this, but you've definitely got to round out the edges with some of these transfers, and you're seeing that, I think, with some of the guys LSU's been linked to so far.
Let's get to the last addition here. Just 2 additions so far for LSU. We flip it over to the offensive side of the football, where, Glenn, it's kind of been, you know, maybe not as talked about when you look at needs, but the wide receiver position, it could be completely devoid of that experience and talent necessarily. I would say the talent on the field that we saw in 2023, you'd have to have a lot of guys step up. So LSU, Cortez Hankton, they go out and they snag Xavion Thomas, another Louisiana native, to bring back to the boot. This is a guy who's a dynamic playmaker. Glenn, I'm most excited. I put the highlights over on our board of his punt return for a touchdown 2 seasons ago. It could add a dynamic threat. I wanted to ask you this, though. Xavion Thomas comes in. Does it feel eerily similar to Aaron Anderson, or is this a guy that has a little bit more body of work than maybe Anderson did coming in last season?
Yeah, this is certainly a guy who has more experience than Anderson. I mean, Anderson didn't play really at all his true freshman year at Alabama. I think he was battling an injury. And so you could definitely say even last year was maybe his first full year of just kind of being in a program where he was healthy and the things LSU wanted was for him to come in and be that return specialist, and it just didn't work out that way, and he just wasn't quite ready for it. But I think now bringing in a guy like Xavion Thomas, this is an experienced return specialist. This is a guy who's going to be able to impact not only in the punt return game but also the kickoff return game. I still personally would love to see Caleb Jackson back there on kickoffs too, but I do expect Caleb to develop and certainly be more of a focal point for the offense next year at running back. So maybe LSU wants to maybe limit his touches in that way and keep him healthy and a little bit more, spruced up throughout the course of a game by not letting him do the kickoff stuff. Well, Xavion Thomas can go in and certainly do that. I mean, he's racked up over 400 or 500 yards last year between the punt return and kick return games. So, and he's got a touchdown in both. So he's going to immediately help you there in the return, which is something LSU has definitely needed since really going back 3 or 4 years. I mean, they have not had a game changer at the return game for quite a while now. And it's been, I think, about surviving there and not really, allowing that to be something that hurts you like we saw so much in 2022. I think you got to that point last year, or I should say in 2023, and now you're hoping to take a next step and hoping that you can get a guy that can average 12, 13 yards a punt and on a return. And that's something that Xavion did last year. I mean, I think he averaged 12.6 yards a punt return, and that's going to be really help LSU if you're looking to kind of flip field, change momentum throughout the course of a game. That's something that can really help you. And then obviously what he can do as a receiver, to have over 500 yards in that Mississippi State offense, I would imagine was no easy feat this past season. Yeah. That to me is extremely telling. I think that there's certainly a lot of untapped potential there that Cortez Hankton's going to be able to pull out to help LSU's offense next year, find that explosiveness. And, Xavion, I think, is going to be a big benefit. I don't want to say he's going to be Malik Nabers or anything, but I could see him filling a neighbor.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I do think that they're going to be versatile with the way that they try to use him in this offense. I mean, he's a very electric weapon, a guy that they can use in the middle of the field and break some tackles, make guys miss. So I'm going to be very excited to see how they use him, especially when we get here into spring ball, just sort of the ways that they think they can spring him loose. But LSU needed to replace, 85% of the production at receiver. They're going to, I think, rely on some internal development with guys like Kyron Lacy and hopefully Chris Hilton and Anderson and some of these young freshmen like Shelton Sampson taking another step. But certainly with what you got bringing in with Thomas, and yeah, we'll see if they add another one. I wouldn't be shocked if they wanted to go out and be aggressive and add another one. But, you know, I think Thomas is a really good start. And I think that you have a lot of numbers in that room to really kind of, you know, take your licks and see which guys kind of rise to the top, you know, throughout the offseason of development.
So those are the two that LSU has added through the portal. Glenn, we're going to have a whole little segment here in a little bit talking about quarterback, but I go to this right here. LSU still needs, you mentioned earlier, two cornerbacks. LSU hosted, we're going to say it, DeCamrion Richardson. I think we're going to go with the pronunciation of this name, but I wanted to, you know, hit you with this because, look, Richardson's another guy that's played a lot of football, played at a high level. He is in the portal. They hosted him. You know, reports were that, you know, it was a good visit. Everything, you know, was trending well with that visit. When you look at LSU's needs, you mentioned, I don't think they want to go into the double digits. They really want to build through the high school ranks and develop that in-house talent. What else are you looking at maybe other than cornerback where they add, and I know one of the biggest questions on our board, is that interior defensive line, which probably is going to depend a lot on the return, potential return of Mekhi Wingo and Mason Smith.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that you hit the nail on the head there. I think that's, those are the two biggest needs on the roster is getting a couple corners in here with experience, but also with some eligibility left. You know, I think Richardson would be a home run hit. You know, he's one of the top three, I think, rated cornerbacks in the country in the transfer portal from our 24/7 sports rankings. Somebody that has some experience playing at Mississippi State at another SEC school. And look, I mean, he's also been tied to Ole Miss, and we know Ole Miss is kind of taking a big swing in the portal this year with a lot of the pieces that they're bringing in. So if you keep him away from Ole Miss, I think that would be a good win for LSU. You know, we'll see if that happens, but yeah, I think Richardson would be a great start, and certainly, you know, Jair Brown is another guy that I think LSU is in on, the Ohio State transfer corner, somebody that, you know, is from New Orleans, from Louisiana. He's lived down here. He's also gone to school up in Ohio, but, you know, Brown would make a lot of sense as another guy you could bring in to help kind of beef up the depth in the cornerback room. But, you know, I think that you've got to take some home run swings here eventually. So yeah. I'm going to be very interested to see if there are any other names that kind of rise to the top here in the coming weeks. You know, these are just the weeks here where guys can enter the portal. So LSU will still be able to bring in players as they kind of, you know, make it known that they're interested in LSU or whatever. But, you know, they've been aggressive in the defensive backfield. I think they've been aggressive on the defensive line. They haven't really gotten a whole lot of movement there yet. You know, I think Walter Nolan was thrown around a little bit early on. Really looks like all signs are pointing to Ole Miss for him right now. But, you know, we'll see if LSU can't try to get in the mix there. I think there's some other interesting conversations to have on defensive line prospects, but you know, we haven't really seen them bring in a whole ton of them yet. And, you know, I think the focus really has been the last couple of weeks has been about getting the freshmen on board on the defensive line. Obviously, with Gary Burrell-Relliford, you're still working on Dominic McKinley, who's pushed his decision back to February. So, you know, if you bring in a couple of guys or a guy, you know, does that hurt you in your quest of trying to lure McKinley into the program as well? So, there's a lot of things you have to consider here. And look, I mean, the thing that we talked about a lot on the board, haven't really talked a lot about on the podcast, is how does the defensive line coaching situation factor into all this?
True.
Do they bring in a coach, and what does that coach, you know, what's the coach background? What is the plan of action there? We just don't really have any of that concrete details yet. I think it's something that Brian Kelly is still sifting through, and you know, we'll see kind of what happens there. But certainly cornerback, defensive line, maybe another receiver, and maybe an offensive lineman. I mean, we'll get into maybe an O-line discussion here in a minute, but mm-hmm. I do think that those are kind of the top needs if you look at the roster right now.
I will say this, just before midnight on Sunday evening, David Johnson of our Inside the Rebels of Ole Miss logged crystal ball for DeCamrion Richardson to go to Ole Miss. The Rebels are cleaning up right now in the portal. So it's one of those things they are – I mean, look, it's expected with how Lane Kiffin builds his roster. And this is what he does. And Ole Miss obviously at the top of a lot of people's list right now with Walter Nolan. And so, look, LSU's going to have to get creative, I think. They're going to have to, like you mentioned, hit on several of these guys, Glenn, because you saw what happened last year. You had the big profile, the high profile names. You had the Deuce Chestnut, the All ACC performer. You had the Denver Harris, the former five star, the one that was one of the top ranked players in that 2022 class, and it didn't work out. I think now you've got to hit on guys that very keen evaluations. You talked about the needs. We can talk about offensive line. It kind of comes into discussion of. That sixth offensive lineman, is it going to be a transfer? Is it going to be a high school guy? A lot of it's going to depend on what Cohen Echols decides, the Katy, Texas four-star recruit, decides on Friday. Because if you're a transfer guy and you see, hey, how many offensive linemen Brad Davis is bringing into the high school ranks, do you feel like you have the best chance to come in and compete? It also depends on if guys like Garrett Dellinger stay. I mean, there's a lot of different factors. And you mentioned – all of this stuff seems so accelerated in the first 2 weeks that it kind of gets, it feels like it's getting out of hand. But like you mentioned, this window is open till the 1st of January. And then teams are going to learn a lot more about their roster, especially after the playoff concludes and guys have a clearer picture about their potential NFL draft status. There is so much time left in this. It just, it's like somebody lights a match on a rope full of kerosene and just drops it and walks away. And for the first 2 or 3 weeks, it's just madness. So I do agree with you there. Wanted to get your thoughts on the offensive line, because that's where I feel like it sits with how many high school guys are going to be there for a potential transfer.
Yeah. I mean, look, you've got so much, young pieces there. I mean, they bring it in five right now, but they also brought in, I believe, four or five last year too, that you're really hoping can develop into the program. Guys like Lance Hurd and DJ Chester and Tyree Adams and Paul Mubanga. These are they are replenishing the well every offseason right now with their freshman recruiting, and Brad Davis has done a phenomenal job of proving he can develop that talent in very short order to have those guys ready to play. All you have to do really is look back at a guy like Mason Lunsford, who they did take out of the portal last year, didn't even sniff the field for most of the season because they felt so good about obviously the young core they had in place and a lot of the backups that really stood up, and like guys like Marlon Martinez, who really developed throughout the course of this last year. So I think that they're going to be in a really good position, whether they bring in an offensive lineman or not. From the portal, if they can bring in Cohen Echols, that would be a great kind of icing cherry on the top of the cake kind of addition. I do think that that's going to be a conversation to have, but we'll see on Friday kind of what he decides. It sounds like it's going to be LSU or Auburn from everything that we've heard coming out of that visit. So it'll be something to monitor for sure. But I do think that there are some bigger needs in the program than offensive line. And I would certainly put, receiver, defensive back, at both safety and corner, and then also the defensive line is kind of the four main needs for me at least.
Well, it's not one of the big needs that we've listed so far, but man, it is one that is often talked about. The search for a transfer quarterback continues, Glenn. And I know you were kind of throwing around the idea of doing a piece about, hey, why it would be okay if they don't add one. And you and I have talked about this, at length on the board or in articles and all this kind of stuff. Obviously, the LSU hosted former Vanderbilt quarterback A.J. Swan. All signs point, not official yet, that A.J. Swan's going to be heading to South Carolina. Our own Matt Zenitz of 24/7 Sports reported that things seem heading it that way. And we had some comments on the board, and it was like, why don't we not think LSU is able to – where does the pitch fall apart? And I think it falls apart for guys of – you and I've talked about this. It has to be such a specific role and understanding of what's happening here because you're not going to come in. I mean, they're not going to bring in Malachi Nelson, who just entered the transfer portal. I mean, I don't think so, at the very least. But it's one of those things where you have to be so specific because this is Gary Nussmeier's job to lose. And you want insurance back there in case Ricky Collins is not available. But or I should say not ready for the role. You want insurance, but I don't think you want it. It's just a, it's an interesting dynamic that LSU was the beneficiary of the past 2 years and now kind of finds themselves in a little bit of a weird situation. Your thoughts on this though?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it some, but LSU, I don't think can be in a position where they bring in like a fifth year transfer or a fourth year guy who's looking to start and play and get film on tape right away. And I don't think they're looking for a 1 or 2 year guy who is, a young player with maybe a lot of upside, who wants to come in and play right away. I don't think they're in the market for that, because then what happens when you're making your final recruiting pitches to guys like Bryce Underwood and George McIntyre, and guys that you feel like you're still in a really good position with in 2025. There's a lot of factors that need to be weighed here. So I do think what you're looking for is somebody kind of in that in between route, somebody like an AJ Swan, who they brought in this last week, who has played for 2 years, has multiple years of eligibility, including a, if anything were to ever happen to him, he'd have a redshirt season available to him. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's a guy that kind of fits the profile, in my opinion, of a guy that would make a lot of sense in terms of someone who can come in and compete and develop alongside us. But someone who also would have to have the understanding that, hey, you're not going to be guaranteed a starting spot, because we've got a guy who's been in this system now for 2 years. Feel really comfortable with, and I think really all of this is a big indictment on where they feel like they are with Garrett Nussmeier. I mean, I think the fact that they haven't been ultra aggressive and promising dudes these roles has been because they have a lot of confidence in Garrett, and they think that he's going to be a guy that can absolutely lead them to some success next year on the offensive side of the ball. And so it does have to be a very specific need. I do think LSU will continue kicking the tires on a quarterback. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't wind up with one, just because it does have to fit a very specific kind of need. And we've had some board guys come at us and say, well, why should Garrett Nussmeier be promised anything? And our biggest deal is that he hasn't promised it, but I think at the very least, the last thing you can afford to have happen is bring in a guy that maybe forces Nuss to think maybe he's not going to get every opportunity to win that starting job. And maybe he goes into the portal, and then you're kind of in a really bad situation where you have a new guy that was just going to compete alongside him and now is going to probably be thrust into this role where you've only had him on campus for a few months, as opposed to a guy like Nuss who's been in the program for two or three years now. So there's just a lot of angles to this, a lot of factors that you have to consider and weigh in regards to adding a transfer quarterback. I don't know that LSU will get there. I know that they're still aggressive and they're still going to, explore a lot of different options here over the coming weeks. But I also think that these next couple weeks of bowl practices and how Nussmeier and Collins play against Wisconsin, that will be very telling too. I mean, if we go out there and Nussmeier throws for 120 yards, a couple picks and a touchdown, then, maybe they get a little bit more aggressive in what they're doing. But I happen to think that he's, from everything we've heard so far, that he's had a really nice start to the bowl practices here. Jaden Daniels hasn't made a decision yet, or at least he hadn't made it public what he's going to do. But I do think that they feel very comfortable with Nussmeier. And I think that you're seeing that being reflected in a lot of the conversations they're having with these quarterbacks and why you're ultimately seeing them go elsewhere, because, they don't want to risk on losing out on a job to Garrett Nussmeier. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, and look, I mean, with AJ Swan, if he's going to go to South Carolina, you really can't blame him, because the path to least resistance is there. I mean, look, Spencer Rattler's gone from South Carolina. It's an open competition over there. So you can't blame the kids. Like, MJ Morris is another one. Tua Tagovailoa's little brother, Talia, is gone from Maryland. So it's an open competition there. MJ Morris heading to Maryland. I think – so you and I have kind of sat where – I think we're ending up at the same point. We're getting there a little bit differently, because I've sat and said, hey, you can't coach in fear of the transfer portal. You can't recruit like that. But you do have to have common sense when it comes to your roster management. And I sit the same way with you, where, look, if you bring in a high profile quarterback, Malachi Nelson, let's play the hypothetical game. You bring in Malachi Nelson or Dante Moore or something like that. You were to do that. And now you enter into the spring, and let's say that said quarterback beats out Garrett Nussmeier. Nussmeier doesn't look too good. And maybe it's just one of those things where they have to kind of pick your poison. You enter into this weird relationship with Garrett Nussmeier of where, look, he can still leave post spring ball. That's one thing I don't know if people realize. Like, you can leave post spring ball. So now he leaves, and now you're in the same situation you find yourself in with a starting quarterback with, you know, experience, but not as much in the system. And not a lot of time to go find a veteran player. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they monitor this. I also, too, Glenn, and as we kind of get, you know, as we kind of get towards the back half of this open portal cycle and into January, I could see them playing the long game with this. Like, I don't even know if we're going to necessarily see them, and maybe I'm wrong, of them adding a guy within this current window. Like, maybe it's after a full few bowl opt-outs, you know, guy, maybe there's a guy on another roster they really like, and the evaluation of them in high school they like, and that guy enters the portal after said bowl game or the playoff or something like that. And they said, let's go get this guy. I just feel like LSU is going to play the long game because it has to be such a specific fit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I also think, you know, don't count out the spring either. Like, I mean, when you talk about, you know, kind of the quarterback trends here, I mean, like, it wouldn't be a bit surprising to see some quarterback at X school decide to enter the portal, and, you know, after the spring ball, because they feel like they're not getting the opportunity or whatever, and LSU could maybe jump on it then. I mean, like, there's still a long time here before all this to be hashed out. And, you know, I think a lot of this is going to depend on Nussmeier's play. It's going to depend on Ricky Collins' development. I mean, I think I think they feel very strongly that Ricky is a guy that can develop this offseason and take, you know, kind of take that next step as a viable backup. But if that doesn't happen, then I do think you're going to have some contingency plans in place. And look, I don't get a good sense that it'll happen anytime soon, but I do think that they're going to stay on some of these quarterbacks and enter, and they're going to leave no stone unturned in terms of the conversations that they have in the building about what the quarterback room could look like at this time next year. So, you know, there's still some stuff to be worked out there, and we'll see kind of if LSU throws their hat, their hand in the hat for another one of these guys and enters the portal, or maybe somebody that's already in that we just haven't heard of yet. But, I do think that there's a case to be made for bringing one in, but I think there's also a case to be made that if LSU doesn't bring one in, that, you know, they'll be fine. They'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that needs to be, you know, kind of assimilated or just talked about a little bit more. So it's not as dire of a need as some of these other positions on the roster. True. That we look at, like corner or defensive line or something like that.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned it, and I wanted to, as we wrap it up, finish it out with this right here. You could get to spring ball, and here's the glass half full look at it. You could get to spring ball, and Nussmeier's firing on all cylinders. And now Ricky Collins feels more comfortable, whereas if you'd have brought a guy in, maybe that spot that you thought was going to be there is no longer there. Now, look, it could very well happen the crazy way. That's college football. That's roster management. It's this era of college football where it's nuts. It's crazy. We're sitting here saying they could play the long game. Maybe they come out tomorrow with someone they've been talking to and nobody knows and nobody hears about. You know, who knows? It could be crazy like that. So I think the search for a transfer quarterback is, I agree with you, not as dire as people have made it. It's more of a result for me of kind of the luxury that you've been sitting in the past 2 years with having a Heisman level quarterback and a really, really good backup that could start elsewhere. It's very rare, folks, for that to happen. And you happen to have that on your roster for the past 2 years. But hey, LSU in the midst of wrapping up, you know, getting ready for bowl practice. Glenn, I know you're headed down to Tampa. You're going to be excited to catch what is hopefully a historical day for Malik Nabers, and we'll see, you know, how all this pans out. But hey, like I mentioned, 50% off that holiday special. Head over to Go247 for all the latest news. We got loaded content this week. Look, just because it's the holidays doesn't mean that we're resting them by any means. We're going to have early signing day. We're going to have, press availability with Brian Kelly talking about that signing class on Wednesday, and obviously bowl prep. And look, it's the most wonderful time of the year for a reason. College football season in full effect. Glenn, I don't know how you did on your college bowl mania. I got shredded this past weekend on the opening slate of bowls. Yeah, it was rough.
I didn't check out too many bowl games this weekend. Unfortunately, I was
a little sickos committee when I wasn't feeling well. All I could do was sit on the couch, and I was like, I'll throw in some bowl games, and it was interesting. But hey, that New Orleans Bowl was a really, really fun one. Overtime game there between Jacksonville State and Louisiana Lafayette. So, hey, we will talk with you next time here on the Go 24/7 podcast. We appreciate you. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. Share it with your friends, your family as well. And if we don't talk to you before, have a fantastic Christmas with you and your family.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.